Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's Monday, and that means it's time for Aftershock Comics. I'm going to be talking about Unholy Grail. The trade paperback is going to come out this Wednesday, March 7th. But a quick update before I get into that. The Jeremy Dale Kickstarter, as you know, it's been fully funded. As of this recording, however, it is only $20 away from the next stretch goal. So it sits at $22,980 with 3 days to go. At $23,000, the cover will have a foil stamp or spot gloss, some kind of special enhancement to the cover. And $3,000 away is the release of issue 10 as a single issue. So even though there's only 3 days left, I'm really hoping that we can meet that goal. It would be incredible to have issue 10 as a standalone. So again, I encourage anyone who wants more details, go back and listen to the Skyward Kickstarter special episode I did with Kelly Dale a few weeks ago. I'll put a link in the show notes to the Kickstarter. There's only 3 days to go, so time is really running out. If you haven't had a chance to go and select your tier and support the Kickstarter, now's the time. No more waiting. It's only got 3 days left. All right, now on to Unholy Grail, as I mentioned, from Aftershock Comics. Real quick, the creative team. It's written by Cullen Bunn. The art is by Mirko Kolak. The colors are by Maria Santa Lala. And the letters are by Simon Boland. So for those not familiar, the Unholy Grail is about the legend of King Arthur. It was a 5-issue series. And as I said, the trade paperback that collects the entire series comes out this Wednesday. The only other title that comes out this Wednesday from Aftershock is Monstro Mechanica number 4, which has also been a really enjoyable series. So let's talk a little bit about Unholy Grail. The title refers to the Holy Grail, which was the supposedly, according to myth and legend, the cup that Christ drank out of at the Last Supper. And it was rumored to have, you know, healing abilities and be able to solve a lot of problems for you know, someone who possessed it. And in the legend of King Arthur, as his kingdom starts to show cracks, he sends his knights out in a quest to recover the Grail. Well, the reason that this story is called the Unholy Grail is because it's sort of a different take on the Arthurian legend, and it involves a being of mischief and evil, a kind of whispering in the ear of King Arthur and manipulating King Arthur, and not just King Arthur, but some of the other knights of the Round Table, Guinevere, just all the main characters, the ones you've come to know from the Arthurian legend. And between his whispers and innuendo, and also through his outright actions, things he physically does, you know, events he sets in motion and things that he does himself, he kind of engineers both the rise and fall of King Arthur. So, you know, the story is time-honored and well-known. King Arthur was by all accounts a good king, not a great king, but a good king. He had a son that was born. Times were tumultuous. His advisor, Merlin, suggested that he take the young infant and hide the baby and have the baby be raised in secret, so that none of the kingdom's enemies would find him and harm him until he was of an age that he could protect himself. And this certainly was the case as far as it being tumultuous times, because when the king died, there were many vying for his throne, and they all had, you know, various claims of you know, validity, and there was infighting. What Merlin had done, in addition to hiding the infant King Arthur, or the infant Arthur, I should say, was he had placed a sword in a stone, with the inscription that says, you know, whosoever can remove the sword from the stone is the rightful king, and blah, blah, blah. We all know that story. And so we see those events play out here. We see King Arthur on his deathbed. We see Merlin, who at this stage is not... It doesn't seem that he's a trusted advisor. We're not really sure. We don't actually learn much about Merlin. We see him kind of ambushed on the way to the court to administer to the king by some malevolent creature, some demon of some sort, some monster. And he basically kills Merlin and wears his skin. And so it's Merlin who, you know, in all the legends of King Arthur plays a pivotal role. And he does so in this story as well, but from the perspective of he wants to see it. Arthur brought high and the kingdom brought high just to see it destroyed. He takes the pleasure in that. And so he takes an active role, as I said. He actually takes King Arthur on his deathbed and uses him much like a puppet, speaks through him to say that I don't really care what the other claims are to my throne, my son will rule. Even though, again, at that time, no one is sure where this baby has been taken and hidden. Even for the demon Merlin, the imposter Merlin, he doesn't know where the real Merlin hid the baby. So he has to go out in search of finding the infant, King Arthur. And then when he does, he binds him, in a way, to the Lady of the Lake. The Lady of the Lake, in this story, is not totally good. Seems very much jealous. Seems very much like a spirit or an entity that you owe fealty to and loyalty to. And if you're ever lacking in those things, she'll turn on you. And so despite everything that Arthur does, nobody can ever be above the Lady of the Lake in his heart and in his mind. Not his kingdom, not his bride, no one. And so it's an interesting take on the legend, to be sure. And the story structure is interesting as well. Cullen Bunn jumps around a bit in the narrative. You know, he flashes forward because, you know, obviously the whole story of King Arthur takes place over many, many years, especially being as how it starts before, really before King Arthur himself is even born. And this is only a 5-issue series. So if there's any complaint I have about the series, it's that there's room for so much more there. And what I discovered while I was reading this is that I would really like a comic about the legend of King Arthur that took its time and told the legend from start to finish over, you know, a period of many, many years. Because as I said, there is room here for more. You know, when the story starts, we're almost at the end. You know, we see Arthur's kingdom has been laid low. You know, it lies in ruin. And then we flash back to Merlin being attacked, and then we see Camelot actually being built, and all along we see the evil Merlin, the fake Merlin's machinations going on behind the scenes, and we see, you know, he's kind of behind the betrayal of Guinevere and Lancelot, who in this story, like in the many of the versions of the myth and legend of King Arthur, they betray Arthur by having an adulterous relationship. We see a different take on Morgan Le Fay. She's, in this story, birthed from Guinevere herself in a different way. She doesn't seem to be entirely human. Again, I feel that it could possibly be machinations of this evil Merlin, but even he seems somewhat surprised at how it happened. So it's like he sets the events in motion, And he knows it's all going to lead to the downfall, but he's not handling every detail. He's not handling every event as it happens. But he definitely rolls with the punches and takes advantage of any situation that he's presented with. And so Arthur does lay with Morgan Le Fay, like, again, in many of the legends. And, you know, the consequence of that is Mordred being born, you know, King Arthur's bastard son. So, again, similar to the legends and similar to a lot of the tales we've seen, and yet different in its way, different enough. I don't know that I would completely call this horror. You know, I know Cullen Bunn is really good at writing horror comics, but this is something different. This is something, you know, supernatural, let's say. But it's not horror in the, you know, Lovecraftian way, where we see, you know, a lot of demons and monsters. For the most part, we're reading the tale of King Arthur, just with Merlin being flipped over to the dark side, I guess you'd say. And we see his, as I said, his hands in many events, him steering King Arthur the wrong way. And it makes you wonder about the strength of King Arthur in this story. He doesn't necessarily seem to be a very strong leader or a very good person, as we've seen in so many other stories. He comes across as a victim, which in a way kind of weakens the legend in a way, as far as it pertains to this story. But again, it is a good story. It's an interesting story. It's very entertaining. And I, as I said, there's room there for so much more. The art by Mirko Kolak is really well done. He was an excellent choice for this because he handles both the talking head scenes, the characterization scenes, as well as the supernatural, you know, the lady in the lake with tentacles coming out of her, or the demon that ultimately kills Merlin and wears his skin. He handles all those things so well, but it's the action in this book isn't the typical kind of action, right? You know, I mean, you see knights fighting with swords in various battles, but it's not the majority of the book. The majority of the book is the interaction and the talking heads and the characterization. And he handles those so well as the pace of the story and the way the story flows from panel to panel. It's all so well done that I can't really imagine anyone else doing this, basically. Anyone else drawing the book. And the colors by Maria, I'm not going to say her last name again because I butcher it every time, but they're really done as well. A bit of a primary palette, but also muted somewhat, which gives it, you know, a feel of reading a story about the past. So all in all, I recommend picking this up in trade, especially. I think it reads very well as one long story. And I hope that Cullen Bunn comes back to it at some point and gives us some stories, whether they're one shots or maybe a series of a few different minis, 3 or 4 issues long, where he just takes a section out of this overall narrative and he dives down deeper into it and kind of fills in some of the gaps, because there's so much more here to be told. I would love to read about Merlin and his, you know, this version of Merlin and where he came from, both the pre-demonic Merlin, you know, the Merlin that got ambushed and killed that we really only met very briefly. Like, how powerful was he? And what was his role with the king? Like, I'd be interested in that. And then I'd also love to see, and where did this demon Merlin come from? Where did this monster that ambushed the real Merlin on his way to the castle, you know, where did he come from? And then what about King Arthur's childhood before he became known, before Merlin set him forth, you know, and kind of put him before everyone? He discovers King Arthur, he discovers the infant while he's still very, very young. But we don't, there's a huge gap there where we don't see, you know, Merlin says, okay, I found him and now I'm going to train him so I can build him up just to tear him down because I'm an evil demon. Like, I get that. But what did that training entail? Can, you know, let's see some of his childhood and the way he was brought up. That's a unique idea, this human being raised by this supernatural demon. So there's stories to be told there. There's stories to be told with the Knights of the Round Table as King Arthur's establishing his kingdom. So as I said, there's room for a lot more there. There's room for, even at the end, when we see Merlin finally destroyed, there's room to see the final battle between Mordred and King Arthur. So there's a lot there, but there's a lot that's kind of left to the imagination. And I would hope that Cullen Bunn, because he talks about how he's had this idea for a very, very long time. One of the first ideas he ever had to write a story and, you know, wanting to be a writer. So I'm sure having carried it around for all these years that he's got a lot more to say about it. And so, again, I encourage you to go and pick up the graphic novel or the trade paperback, rather. And, you know, the better that the trade paperback does, the more likely we are to see some more stories told in this world. And you can bet that next time I see Cullen, I'm going to ask him about it. I'm going to be like, hey, you know, there's a lot left there. You know, this is almost... it's almost like an outline. It gives us the broad strokes of the story, but there's still so much more there that can be told. And so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how the sales do. And I really hope and encourage you guys to get out there and pick it up. Even if it's digitally, it'll show interest. And if there's interest shown, it'll be that much more likely to return, and Cullen will have a chance to return to the story. So I very much recommend it. It's a good story. It's not real heavy reading. When I was talking to Manny about it, he said he was having a hard time getting into it for the first couple issues. He said it was kind of hard to read. I didn't find it that way. It's not like it's, you know, sometimes you read these Arthurian legend or these Arthurian stories and they're like, everybody's talking in like old English and it's tough to understand what's going on. But I didn't find that at all. I thought it read very easy and it was a relatively quick read as well. So I really enjoyed it. As I said, encourage you to go out there and pick it up and let me know what you think. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Source Podcast, Aftershock Monday. Please go to lrmonline.com for all our content. We still have the old website up, comicsourceblog.com. All past episodes of the podcast are there as well. So you can go either place and check them out. We'll be talking about kind of the changes now that everything is being hosted on lrmonline.com very soon once we finish working out a few more technical details. So, but again, either place, or, you know, if you follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource, or Facebook or Instagram, just do a search on Facebook or Instagram for The Comic Source. You know, I always put the link up there where you can go and download the episode. So again, I encourage you all to do that. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Sorry, not YouTube, but please subscribe to us on iTunes. Also, if you are going to be at WonderCon in Anaheim, California, we're going to have a big surprise for the listeners there. So keep tuned in for more information about that. And don't forget about the Jeremy Dale Skyward Omnibus, just a few days left to pledge and get your omnibus with the entire story. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.